Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Callum Borchers. NFL owners are gathering in Miami today and tomorrow for the league's spring meeting. Topics include possible rule changes and locations of future NFL drafts. Another item on the league's agenda, whether it comes up at the meeting or not, is how to handle Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who was charged with soliciting prostitution. A Florida judge ruled last week that surveillance video allegedly showing Kraft in the act cannot be used in court. Prosecutors are appealing, but some legal analysts say the decision is a crippling blow to the case against Kraft. Whatever the outcome in court, Kraft will have to stand trial in the judgment of the NFL. The league is pledged to, quote, take appropriate action under its personal conduct policy. But what will that look like? And will it be enough? Joining us now to discuss is WBUR sports and society reporter Shira Springer. Hey there, Shira.
Hello.
Also with us on the phone is Boston Globe sports columnist and associate editor Dan Shaughnessy. Hi, Dan.
Hello.
And listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. How do you think the NFL should handle the Robert Kraft case? And will the league's actions be holding Kraft accountable or salvaging its own reputation? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK or tweet us at Radio Boston. All right, Dan Shaughnessy, let me begin with you. What is at stake here for the NFL in this decision on Robert Kraft?
Well, they've had a track record in the recent years of inconsistent punishments doled out to primarily players. And there is a conduct policy, and they're going to have to make a decision. The commissioner will have to make a decision as to what to do about Bob Kraft here. And I think that no matter what he does, he'll come under an avalanche of criticism either way. If he goes very light on Bob Kraft, you certainly believe that in this climate it's not the time to do that and that he should be held to a higher standard. If he comes down heavy, Patriot Nation will rally around the owner the way they always do and claim that they're being targeted and singled out and unfairly punished for something that was not proven in court.
Yeah, sure. I mean, to Dan's point, this would seem to be a
no-win
situation.
We have a lot of practice in these parts of rallying around, members of the Patriots.
Spygate, Deflategate.
Exactly. When, fans feel that the justice handed out by the quote-unquote justice handed out by the league is unfair.
Dan, can the league just let this thing fizzle away altogether, though? Is that an option on the table? I mean, we're thinking about whether there'll be a fine or perhaps a suspension or something like that. But perhaps they could just say, look, if the charges are ultimately dropped, which is a possible scenario here, maybe the league just walks away from the issue entirely.
Well, the charges being dropped is a likely scenario, given the high-powered attorneys and the loopholes and all the high-financed tax that they've taken down to Florida. But commissioners rule independent of that, and there's multiple instances of players being punished when it was not adjudicated against them. And if an owner gets away with this, and after players have been punished for conduct unbecoming of the NFL, there'll certainly be a double standard brought forth there by the Players Association. And I got to think that they have to worry about this video surfacing. It happened with Ray Rice. Ray Rice, this is a much worse transgression. He punched his girlfriend in an elevator, and the sanctions were relatively light. The video came out subsequent to that, and then you look really bad. And Goodell has to be mindful that if he goes light or doesn't do anything here, and then the video comes out, in the court of public opinion, that's going to look bad for the league.
So just a reminder on the Ray Rice episode, he was the Baltimore Ravens star running back who was initially suspended only 2 games for what the league knew to be an assault and battery. And then later, a website obtained elevator footage that actually showed the act, and the public outrage grew so loud that the league suspended him indefinitely. He's never played again. But Shira, that was a case where the footage really seemed to be a big turning point in the public eye and the league's position on crimes against women. And yet, in the aftermath of that, the implementation has been spotty. I'm thinking about the Giants punter Josh Brown,
or
for example.
Hunt.
One game, Kareem Hunt. Exactly. The list goes on.
Exactly. Just every season, it seems like there's a case where the NFL either didn't pursue the video evidence strong enough, didn't pursue an investigation strong enough against a player, and then they're sort of caught flat-footed and having to react with a punishment when more evidence trickles out. And I think Dan is exactly right. The NFL does have to worry about this video somehow surfacing down the line. And they really can't afford not to act. They have to do something. And I think even in the NFL offices, they realize that because it's such an image-conscious league. It's a league that's so concerned about optics and how things appear. And if there's disproportionate punishment, if players are punished much more harshly than owners, particularly prominent, powerful owners, it's a really bad look that the league can't afford. So if anything is guiding them in a weird way, it may not be the alleged crime or, you know, what's all trickled out in the legal proceedings. It may be a concern about the image and, as they say in the NFL, protecting the shield.
We're talking about what the NFL should do about prostitution charges against Robert Kraft with our own Shira Springer and the Boston Globe's Dan Shaughnessy. And we'd like you to join us as well. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pat is calling from Watertown. What do you think, Pat?
It's hard for me to take any action the NFL takes against Kraft seriously, and I'm in no way defending Kraft, given not just everything that your two guests just said, but also the fact that the way they treat their cheerleaders, as has been, you know, documented over and over again as, you know, independent contractors and, you know, woefully mistreating the women that already are on their payrolls, not to mention these women involved with players. Thank you.
How about that, Shira Springer?
Pat, I think
saying
Pat
there's a broader
makes an
issue.
Excellent,
here.
Excellent point, because this is a much bigger issue. I mean, Kraft is one case, Kareem Hunt is one case, Ray Rice is one case, but there is a much bigger issue here, and that is the NFL and its treatment of women, its respect for women, how it punishes the people who are employed by the league or who own teams when they don't treat women respectfully, when they, you know, assault women, harass women, whatever the case may be, don't treat women fairly in the case of the cheerleaders. Yeah, I think Pat has hit on a really key point here, which is the NFL has to consider the bigger picture in terms of women and the way the NFL treats women or is perceived to be treating women.
But Dan Shaughnessy, can you kind of elaborate on the competing interests that the league has that you were touching on earlier? I mean, they've got this image problem that Shira is talking about. They are widely seen as not taking issues serious enough when it comes to violence against women. So if they come down hard on Kraft, perhaps they address that concern. But then there's also the perception among Patriots Nation that, you know, we're targets, right, that the league comes after us, whether it's, you know, hitting Tom Brady with four games for Deflategate or you know, fining Bill Belichick $1 million for Spygate.
Right. And I think that what's going to be you have to be careful not to confuse the issues that if the case is dismissed, he is not exonerated in terms of this doesn't establish that he wasn't there, that this didn't happen. He's worked hard to suppress video, which would certainly absolve him of all guilt if the video were not damning, and they don't want that to come out. He has apologized publicly. We're not sure for what, since he said he did nothing illegal, but you know, it's on record here that this happened. Everybody knows this happened. So for the league to do nothing, even in the wake of the court not doing anything, I think that's going to be a hard thing to do. And don't forget, when the Black Sox threw the World Series in 1919, they were exonerated by the courts in Illinois. They were not found guilty. And then the commissioner of baseball said, well, that's all nice, but you're all suspended for life. You can never play baseball again. Yeah. Now, these transgressions certainly aren't the same, but the commissioner does not have to go along with what the courts do.
I like you invoking Judge Kennesaw Mountain Landis, Dan, in the Black Sox scandal. Is Roger Goodell the new? He doesn't strike me as a Kennesaw Mountain Landis type of character, but
no.
But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it seems like back then in 1919, the commissioner had a very specific agenda, but maybe Goodell does too. I think it's important also just to remember, you know, kind of what jurisdiction, so to speak, Goodell has in all of this. This falls under not a legal statute, but what the league has in place, which is the personal conduct policy. And that basically states that, you know, whether it's an owner, a player, a league employee, members of the team, staff, coaches, they must refrain from conduct detrimental to the integrity of and public confidence in the NFL. And that's a very vague sort of policy they have in place. And it gives, obviously, as we've seen with Patriots cases in the past, it gives Goodell a lot of latitude when it comes to punishment and the types of things he punishes independent of what happens in the legal system.
Yeah, a lot of discretion there. So we're inviting all of you to play commissioner for, you know, this hour if you'd like. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. If you'd like to say what you would do if you were in Commissioner Goodell's situation. Galen is in Newton. Galen, what do you think?
Thanks for taking my call. It's a real pleasure and privilege. It seems like the NFL had in the past with the concussion controversy an opportunity to really show that it could stand on a strong moral ground. And given what seems like the evidence against Kraft, regardless of what the court finds, I would hope that the NFL takes some sort of action to show that owners, though they might have a lot of money, are held to account in a similar way that normal people might be. And I'd love to hear what your guests have to say about whether they think that will actually happen. And if it doesn't, what the backlash might or might not be from fans and advertisers.
Galen, thanks for the call there. So how about that, Dan Shaughnessy? I mean, there's a smaller sample size with the owners, obviously. You know, we think back to 2014, for example. We did see some discipline against the Colts owner, James Ursay, but he had pleaded guilty to driving while intoxicated.
That was, a misdemeanor while driving. Yeah,
but that's a case where there was a conviction in court followed by a punishment by the league.
It was a hefty punishment, too. You know, six-game suspension and $500,000 fine. I mean, and he couldn't be near the team or near the facility for the duration of that suspension. I mean, you know, for a misdemeanor, that seemed like a pretty hefty punishment.
But Dan, to Galen's point there, he's wondering whether the same standard will be applied to an owner like Robert Kraft that we see sometimes applied to players where maybe they aren't convicted of anything in court, but they're still punished by the league.
Yeah, I think something's coming Bob's way on this because, you know, and that's why I'm not really clear about what the strategy was in Florida to spend so much money and go so hard at a misdemeanor. Because he's worried about his status in the NFL, his Hall of Fame potential down the road, and those things, this court case does not make those things go away for him, unfortunately for him. And I just think that ultimately the commissioner is going to have to do something here, and I think the Kraft camp at this point expects that. I think they know something's coming down. And again, what does it matter if an owner gets suspended? I mean, it's not like he's the quarterback or the tight end. It's not affecting games. It means he can't, you know, wave from the box and have everybody kiss his ring and be in the Klieg lights, you know, on CBS on Sunday when they raise the banner. So it doesn't really affect anything except his status in the sport, his status in the Hall of Fame, which he's something he desperately wants. This comes along at a bad time regarding that candidacy.
Yeah, I also think, though, in some ways, the worst thing to happen to Kraft has sort of already happened, and that's the public embarrassment and having to go through this, having to have his name out there in association with prostitution, you know, the fact that there may be a videotape out there, you know, with evidence, you know, that he doesn't want seen. I mean, all of this stuff that's coming out, I think for him, the personal embarrassment, and you talk about, you know, it hurts his status, it hurts his Hall of Fame candidacy, I think that all factors into obviously a punishment for Kraft. But I think in some ways, even if he is suspended 3, 4, 5, 6 games, whatever the case may be, and fined, I think in many ways he's already weathered the worst punishment, and that's the public embarrassment of this whole situation dragging on and on and on.
Dan Shaughnessy, how about that Hall of Fame? I think that's something that some fans have been wondering. Is there a real risk there to him now?
And again, to Shearer's point, you know, I mean, having weathered the thing, but he has, with his actions, he has made this thing drag on and on and on. This happened February 22nd when it was announced, and we are now 3 months later, and we're still talking about it. We're doing a whole show on it here, and it's in the papers every day. And now this is going to come up with the punishment. But if he had just kind of done what most guys do in this case, is just said, yeah, sorry, I won't do that again. But that's not the Patriot way. That's not the Kraft way. It's always, you know, accuse, you know, deny, deny, accuse, that sort of thing. And they've pushed very hard toward the prosecutors down there. And I think that just enhances the chances of that video coming out, which is not going to be a good thing for them.
Yeah, this is the team of Deflategate Report in Context.com, right?
Yeah.
So let's take a few more calls. Lindsay is in Newton. Lindsay, what do you think?
I'm just curious about Gillette's stand on things and how they come into play. I know that last year they put out a new commercial video in response to the Me Too movement asking, is this really the best a man can get? And being the owners of the stadium, just where they take a stand or whether or not they do at all.
Lindsay, thanks for the ring. Just to clarify, they're not the owner of the stadium, but they are the title sponsor.
Yeah,
it is Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
And so to that point, Shira, it appears, at least in the immediate aftermath, first few months, that corporate sponsors are sticking by the Patriots. That seems to be one of the storms that Kraft has weathered, as you put
it. Yeah, I mean, I think everybody is waiting, and that includes the league and sponsors and corporations and businesses affiliated with the Patriots, whether their name is on the stadium or not, to see how things play out. I mean, I don't think anyone, I mean, when news first broke, I mean, there was a lot of, you know, reporting about human trafficking and so on and so forth. And you know, there was this big storm of coverage. And then as things have gone on, you know, there have been questions thrown into, you know, is it this, is it that? And so I think the prudent tact by those, you know, the corporate folks is to wait and see what happens, just in, you know, in much the same way the NFL is waiting to see what happens on the legal side before they act.
Eileen is in Salem. Eileen, what do you think?
I think that, you know, there is definitely rules in place. The commissioner has a job to do, and, you know, the owners, the players, everyone involved with the NFL knows how they're supposed to behave before they even are, you know, contracted or whatever. And Robert Kraft should have thought of what he was doing, you know, before he decided to do inappropriate things. And just, you know, if he would have thought, oh, it's going to cost me the Hall of Fame, whatever, then guess what? You screwed up, buddy. So you need to, you know, deal with what's coming. Feel the wrath.
Eileen, thanks for the ring. Let's try to get in one more. Dave is in Methuen. What do you think, Dave?
I disagree. I think that the NFL shouldn't be involved in the legal matters. We have a legal system that addresses these issues, and they determine the punishments. Now, by allowing corporations into your personal life or legal matters, it's a double jeopardy. You're going to get punished twice? Come on. That's not fair. It's not right. And where does the line get crossed? Where do we say, oh, that's enough, or yeah, you can do this, no, you can't do that? Come on. It's a road that I don't think we want to travel as a society, because then your corporation becomes your judge, jury, and executioner.
Got it, Dave. Thank you for the call. So, Shira, I mean, I guess I understand Dave's point on some level there, but that would be such a departure from precedent, right? I mean, the league has for a long time said that it has the authority to – this is collectively bargained, in
yes,
fact, that it has
yes.
the authority to mete out punishment regardless of what the legal system does. They
yeah.
couldn't walk away from that now, could they?
Exactly. I mean, this is a horse out of the barn scenario, which is they've done it. They've been there. Again, we can reference the personal conduct policy. That's in there. It's collectively bargained. This is the policy. This is, you know, the NFL believes it has and it does, you know, have the right to punish league employees, coaches, players, et cetera, owners that they feel are not representing their business interests well, their league well. I mean, that's the way it's been, and that's the way it will continue to be. Now, on the separately from, like, I think he was talking separately, corporations like Gillette, which was a separate question. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, if the legal case had proceeded along a different track, and if there was, you know, it looked like it was going to go forward and perhaps, you know, lead to some sort of guilty verdict down the line, you know, do corporations who are really team sponsors have a responsibility to say something, do something, withdraw support potentially? That's a bigger question and something I think each corporation decides individually.
Dan Shaughnessy, in our final few seconds, what are the chances that Robert Kraft and the league are kind of hammering out some kind of negotiation right now? I mean, we had a big, long appeals process with Deflategate. It'd be nice to avoid that this time.
I don't know about any kind of a deal being struck between the commissioner and the owner of the Patriots in this one. I think that the commissioner's got to rule independently. He's probably polling the other owners. And a lot of those guys are kind of scared about this because they know their own closets have skeletons and they don't want to maybe come down too hard on one of their peers. But as we've referenced before, you know, Bob Kraft is a member of a club. It's a franchise. They go by the rules. Your employer can do something to you independent of what the courts do. That's part of being employed by someone, or in this case, being a franchise owner, part of a club. So they're independent, and we're going to find out at some point between now and the start of the season what the commissioner is going to do about this.
That's Boston Globe sports columnist and associate editor Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Also, our thanks to WBUR's sports and society reporter, Shira Springer.
Thank you.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Callum Borchers. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.